you know, snapshot of our life, we can either be in a state of survival, we can be in a state of comfort, or we can be in a state of thriving. And I'll explain what those feel like so we get a glimpse into what they actually are. So survival is when we're just trying to make it through the day. Our time horizons are very short. We're trying to get through the day. Maybe sometimes we're just trying to get through the week. We're in a constant overwhelm. We're putting out fires and there never seems to be enough. We make decisions out of scarcity. If Ted wins, I lose. If I lose, then you win. It's this zero-sum game. And it's exhausting. Obviously, it doesn't last, but we've all been in survival in some capacity. Then there's the comfort stage. We're no longer in survival. We're no longer putting out constant fires, but there's nothing on the horizon that's really challenging us. Life is lacking some color. We've become comfortable. We've become complacent. And in this stage, it's really hard to get motivated long-term for something greater, but we also don't have the urgency of survival. So we're kind of stuck. This is like when we stay stuck, this is where most people are. And then there's the state of thriving. And the state of thriving is that when we're seeking the challenge, when we realize that there's a connection between the areas of our life and we're consistently in a state of growth. Doesn't mean things are easy. It means that we're seeking the challenge, taking on new initiatives, growing internally, growing externally.
What's up, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, celebrity trainer and high-performance health coach, Ted Rice. This is a podcast for men and women who are looking to boost their energy and upgrade their health. So get ready to learn proven health, fitness, and mindset strategies to unlock your full potential. And speaking of unlocking that full potential, we're going to be talking about how we're all sitting around with untapped potential. And I want to be really clear, today's episode isn't for everyone. Some of us, we're comfortable with our lives and we'll go through our entire life staying in that comfort zone. And I want to tell you something. If you're cool with that, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't let anybody tell you that you need to do more or be more than what you already are. But then again, this episode isn't for you today. This episode is for the people who know there's something else out there. There's a next level of life that they haven't hit yet, but they know it exists, but it's not the right time to take action on it. They don't know enough information to take action on it. They don't have enough money to make it happen, but they still know it's out there. And today I have Tommy Baker on the show, and he wrote a book called The Leap of Your Life, How to Redefine Risk, Quit Waiting for Someday, and Live Boldly. So if you're a person who's feeling like that, if you have that yearning inside you, but you feel like, every time I think about making that leap, I think about, it's just not the right time. I don't have enough money. I don't know exactly. The steps aren't laid out for me. So you know what? I'm just going to do some more research. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. And what we get into today is that those things, those are all ways to procrastinate. Those are all ways to play small and never go after that dream you have. And I want to tell you something. That today's episode, it's a personal episode for me. I've taken a bunch of leaps in my life. And probably the biggest one I took recently when my wife Giselle and I, we picked up from Miami Beach and moved across the globe to Asia. And we've been traveling around. And I want to tell you, I didn't know enough. I didn't have enough money in the bank. My online business wasn't going well enough to quit personal training to make sure that, you know, I was set up for success when I got into Asia, but we did it anyway. And there were struggles along the way, but the end result is that now I'm living a life on a next level that I could never have dreamed of or imagined. And it didn't happen because I knew what I was doing. I figured it out along the way. I made it happen. And granted, I had a partner in it, but we all have partners. We all have mentors and coaches available to us. We also have people that we can be in a mastermind group with. And what I want to tell you is the only regret that I have about making this leap, because I'm making more money, I'm having more fun, I'm positively affecting more people in their lives. And it would have never happened if I waited for the right moment, because again, it just doesn't exist. So if that resonates with you, then you're in the right place today. You're in for a great conversation about this. Before we get to today's episode, I want to let you know that it's brought to you by Organifi Green Juice. So if you're a busy professional who's having trouble eating healthy on the go, but you know that good nutrition is crucial to your energy levels, to maintaining your health, to keeping your immune system function strong, then you're gonna wanna listen up, because most of us don't eat as well as we should, and we don't get the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits each day. So if you're in that situation, one of the easiest and best things you can do is have a green powder that makes it easy to get your greens in every single day, no matter how busy you are. And that's why I recommend Organifi Green Juice, a superfood powder that you just add water to so you can get your greens in on the go. And like I've told you before, I've tried the best green supplements out there on the market, and most of them taste like they've been scraped out of a dried fish tank. And if it doesn't taste good, you're just not gonna drink it. And neither will I. And that's what I love about Organifi Green Juice. It actually tastes great. But don't believe me, try it for yourself and use the code TED20, that's capital TED and the number 20, at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com to receive 20% off your first order. But hurry, this is a limited time discount for Legendary Life listeners. All right, let's get to the episode with Tommy Baker on how to take the leap of your life. Tommy Baker, welcome to the show and thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Love what you're doing, man, and excited to be on your platform and do a little co-creation with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I was on your show a while back, and so finally it's nice to turn the tables a little bit and get you on mine, because you have a very interesting story, a very interesting, thing that you do where I'm not going to say too much because I want you to tell the story, but you were in the fitness industry, but you've transitioned into something completely different.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think in life, we have moments of opportunity where we know we have to make a change. And sometimes that comes with these small whispers during the quiet mornings or late evenings. Sometimes it comes when we get a snapshot, we're looking out of a plane and we're taking inventory of our life. The problem is we often don't heed the call of these insights, these breakthroughs, until it gets to a place where the pain or the consequences are really bad. And it doesn't always have to get there. So for me, that transition was getting radically honest with myself and frankly, other people too, that while for me, physical training was something that was really important in my life, what really inspired me, what I was really obsessive about was what was going on in between the ears in regards to that physical training. Why would someone like Ted come through and someone similar to him, same age, same demographic, psychographic, and why would one person see incredible results and the other person wouldn't? Why would one person create momentum long-term and the other person wouldn't? The same program, what was happening in between? And that's when I got to a place where I was like, I like to call this the vehicle of delivery of our purpose. So for me, that was physical transformation early on, but I outgrew that. And I had to make a decision where it's like, 5 years down the line, do I want to be talking about the same things? Do I still want to be teaching nutrition when deep down my obsession is in the neuroscience and the human behavior and the mindset pieces and the inner journey of the people have to take in order to achieve results? And that's when I got honest with myself and started to make that transition.
Yeah, very cool, man. And I think everybody, well, I don't know if every trainer gets there, but I think we all at least have glimpses of it. I mean, I remember talking to a client who was an attorney who only took $20 million cases and up when it came to his business. And he was just so distraught about like not doing well on a deadlift. And I was just like, why is he so successful in this one area of his life, has it all together? You know, making even 1% of 20 million, which I'm sure he made a lot bigger percentage than that, is quite a significant number. And then he was mad about some little deadlift thing. And it's just we start to realize, you know, that there's more to it than just the the nutrition or the lifting, all those scientific details, like what you said, the thing that's happening in between people's ears, what's going on there, it's the most important. What would you say you do now? What did you transition into? What do you call yourself, Tommy?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, the way that I like to put it is the following. I like to think that, and this is generalized, but it helps contextualize what I do. I like to think that in any, you know, snapshot of our life, we can either be in a state of survival, we can be in a state of comfort, or we can be in a state of thriving. And I'll explain what those feel like so we get a glimpse into what they actually are. So survival is when we're just trying to make it through the day. Our time horizons are very short. We're trying to get through the day. Maybe sometimes we're just trying to get through the week. We're in a constant overwhelm. We're putting out fires and there never seems to be enough. We make decisions out of scarcity. If Ted wins, I lose. If I lose, then you win. It's this zero-sum game. And it's exhausting. Obviously, it doesn't last. But we've all been in survival in some capacity. Then there's the comfort stage. We're no longer in survival. We're no longer putting out constant fires. But there's nothing on the horizon that's really challenging us. There's no... Life is lacking some color. We've become comfortable. We've become complacent. And in this stage, it's really hard to get motivated long-term for something greater. But we also don't have the urgency of survival. So we're kind of stuck. This is like when we stay stuck. This is where most people are. And then there's the state of thriving. And the state of thriving is that when we're seeking the challenge, when we realize that there's a connection between the areas of our life and we're consistently in a state of growth. Doesn't mean things are easy. It means that we're seeking the challenge, taking on new initiatives, growing internally, growing externally. And I believe we're all capable and designed to be in a state of thriving all the time. So what I do now is I really help specifically male entrepreneurs to get them from a stage of comfort to back into a state of thriving. Not that, because we've all been in a state of thriving. And I always ask my audience and in my events, I say, what does thriving feel like? And they'll say freedom, joy, bliss, presence, power. I mean, all of these amazing words. And if we've been there, we can get it back. And that's really what I help people do, is to go from a state of comfort back to a state of thriving. Because, and I know you can attest to this, when we're in thriving, we're living a life we can't wait to wake up for, not a life that we can't wait to escape from. And those are two different worlds.
Yeah, man. No, I like those distinctions. Yeah, I've been in all three for sure.
As we all have.
Everyone listening has, you know, and I'm so mostly helping male entrepreneurs, but we're going to be diving into everything that we're going to dive into is going to help everyone who happens to be stuck. But if you're a male entrepreneur listening, you want to pay special attention to what Tommy's going to share with you. And we'll make sure we have the in the show notes. And if you want to take the next step with Tommy, you'll know how to reach out to him. So, man, you know, talk about where you see not just male entrepreneurs, but where you see people stuck right now. Because I mean, we connected through Facebook. I think I added you because we had some friends in common, and I randomly added you. I was like, and then I appreciate your posts and what you put up. So many people, what they're putting out on Facebook, I think it's a window into like their mindset. And what I see you doing is really trying to add value, try to help people shift their perspectives. But what most people are doing are, if they're in the fitness industry, complaining about how, I don't know, Tracy Anderson and Dave Asprey are making more money than them and they're more knowledgeable. And or if it's politics, they're complaining about what Trump said, or they're complaining about people who are complaining about Trump if they're for Trump, you know. And it's just this big mess. And it's, again, a glimpse into where those people are at, not just in terms of their mindset, but also where they're spending their time, right?
Yes.
And that's not a renewable resource. So can you break down what you see, and we'll take it from there?
Absolutely, man. And also just to clarify, like I work primarily like in the trenches with male entrepreneurs, but a lot of my audience is, you know, on my podcast and even some of my virtual programs that are male, female, everything in between. So if this resonates, make sure you keep listening. So yes,
here's why we go to that, Ted, at least in my belief. So I noticed a direct correlation in my life. When my life was lacking purpose, direction, meaning, or just a feeling like on progress, or that I have some autonomy, that I'm making decisions for myself, that I'm really living a life that, again, I'm excited about. When that was at its lowest, my distraction, my spending time in gossip or cheap entertainment or stuff like you're talking about was at its highest. And the inverse has also been true for me. And this is what I see with a lot of people, that when you fill your day with things that have purpose, that have meaning, that are important to you, that are aligned with your internal values, you frankly, you just don't have enough capacity left for, and I'm just be very blunt, the bullshit that's out there. And that to me is a feedback mechanism. So if you're spending a lot of time distracted, if you're spending a lot of time in social environments or online environments that are really, you know, are not serving you, but you're still there, that tells me something is missing. Nothing wrong with you. Just tells me that something in your life is missing. You might be out of alignment. You may be lacking clarity. You may not be on the path that you want. And I just call this the pain of untapped potential. And so when we have the pain of untapped potential, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to gossip. We're going to look at someone who's doing something that maybe we want to do. Like you, Ted, you have a podcast and I'm going to find a way to bring you down or make a passive aggressive comment or, you know, not really celebrate your wins, but instead find reasons to pull you down, to just make myself feel a little bit better, to soothe that untapped potential. And that's where we can find ourselves when we're not doing something that we really want to do, and when our life is lacking a deeper meaning and a deeper purpose. And whether you're an entrepreneur, you work for somebody else, or anything in between, it's about taking that journey of knowing yourself. You know, who am I? What am I about? What is important to me? And going deep into that, which is like the internal journey. You know, there's a part in the book which is the spiritual leap, and I know that you've taken, you know, a spiritual leap, and that can be one of the most transformative experiences that we can take. But a lot of people aren't willing to do that. And if you're listening out there, I'm encouraging you. If you're on this podcast, obviously you have some interest in it. Keep going down that path, because there's gifts inside if you're willing to stay with it.
Yeah, man. Well said. Yeah, the pain of untapped potential. That's a good way of characterizing that state of mind. And yeah, I've been there, but I'll tell you, Tommy, I'm lucky, man. I kind of got into my thing and was busy doing it before Facebook was really what was existed at all. So I might have made a fool of myself in a couple of chat rooms or forums back in the day, but man, it really, with the state of social media now, it's just so different. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't have that ability to put myself out there when I was really lost and lacking purpose. And what you say is so important. I think that I've been in Asia for a year now, and then when I look back at my life and the way people in general are living theirs in the West, in America in particular, you see that existential angst, that lack of purpose. And I think in part it's happening because there's just so much information coming at people that it's insane. We're all bombarded by emails. And if we have social media accounts, we're bombarded there. And it takes a lot of discipline to really stay focused and to not get distracted, even if you initially had a strong purpose, a strong focus, it's hard to stay on the path. Like you said, when you were talking about, well, you go from survival, where there's this really strong desire to change, and then you get into this comfort zone, right? Where you don't have the strong push, the strong drive that you had when you're in that that red alert survival mode, but you also don't have like the joy, the fulfillment or passion and just happy to wake up every day and do what you do when you're in thriving. So people are stuck there. How would you say for people to maybe get some self-awareness about where, what stage they're in? And then we can talk about how to shift into thriving.
Absolutely. So you know, the comfortable one, it's pretty obvious. So a lot of times we'll use language like things are good, things are okay, things are fine. And I'm kind of like, I'm saying that in a way of like, that's how the expression usually is.
Right.
Because I've had clients come to me and I say, okay.
I'm good.
Yeah. But like, okay. They're saying like, things are okay. And I'm like, but are they really? And once we start, and this goes back to radical honesty, like we can't transform if we're not willing to be honest. And I think we're so afraid to be honest. Yeah. I like what you said about the West. It's like, yes, we have this internal angst, but nobody knows. We're just acting like it's not there. Right. And it comes out somehow. It comes out when we're watching an NFL player catch a pass and we're seeing him live his dreams and it comes out and we get very excited and we got this emotion and then we go back to our work and we're very subdued and numb. And so, or it can come out with anger as we've seen, or violence, or it can come out. Some people use that and channel that physically. And so we've become in a sense disconnected with who we are because of the noise, Ted, is what I heard you say. And what I also believe, you know, people will say in the comfort stage, Tommy, I don't have any clarity on like that next thing. And yeah. I don't actually believe that. I don't, because I know in the right environment, if we stripped you from the environment and we put you in a place, and I actually do this with clients who come out to Arizona, we go up to this mountain, I can get you to a state of clarity. I can get you to a state of purpose. It's that we won't find clarity in the noise and we won't find clarity in the chaos. And just like you said, when we have so much chaos, of course we're going to feel confused, lost, scattered. Like we don't know what the next step is. Like we don't know what's out there. And so in this comfort place, you're going to use language like things are okay, like things are fine. And if that's the case, then I would challenge you and ask you, what does that really feel like? Because when we go deep under the hood, what we realize is that comfort is only a few steps away back from a survival state. Usually it's you have some achievement, so you do have something to lose, which makes making a bold decision or making a challenge or going to that next level of thriving a little bit harder, because now you got something to lose, even though the thing that you have to lose isn't something that is lighting you up. It's a very interesting place to be in. But I would start someone who feels like they might be, yeah, like I'm in a comfortable state. By the way, again, I want to reiterate, your circumstances are never who you are. They're not your identity. So even if you are in survival or you're in comfort, don't beat yourself up about it. Have the courage to get honest about it, because then you can transform it. I always got to separate that. And if you're in that state, like just start out by taking inventory. Like, where am I today and how does that actually make me feel? Right? And then the next step would be, once we identify that, is to reintegrate challenge into our lives. To reintegrate something of meaning, right? To reintegrate a spark that we may have had earlier. That could be a business vision. That could be a life vision. That could be something that's pulling us forward, that's going to get us out of that stuck routine. And when we seek that challenge, when we create that, we have to change our actions, our behaviors, sometimes our environments. And with new environments and new places and new people, guess what? We get new energy. Right. So one of the things that happens with comfort is that we stay stuck in the past. We stay stuck in the same environments with the same people that reaffirm the same places and the same results that we got in the past. So this is where I would start people, just taking inventory, right, in terms of where you are, and then starting to ask some questions, like some real questions, but the answers can only come in the space. They can't come, like if you're driving down the highway, you're listening to this right now. It's like, what do you actually want? What is out there on the horizon that would excite you? If you woke up 1 year from this conversation Ted and I are having in April 2020, and you look back and you said, wow, that was one of the best years of my life, what would have to happen? Who would you have to be? What are the feelings and experiences that you have to feel to bring that to life? And if we can start getting in that place where you're at least thinking bigger, then we can start getting you out of that place of comfort.
Yeah. Powerfully put, Tommy. Powerfully put. Let's get into your book. So you have a new book out. It's called The Leap of Your Life, How to Redefine Risk, Quit Waiting for Someday, and Live Boldly. And I really like I really love the title, because I've been into this idea for, I don't know, well, probably for a long time, actually, but I started becoming aware, like, you know, it's really these peak experiences these risks that we take, or at least doing something that is very purposeful to us, that create that state of thriving, right?
Yeah.
And most people just don't do that, it seems. Or if they did do that, they stopped doing it because they had kids, got too into their career. Talk to us about like who this book is for, and what do you mean by the leap of your life?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the book is for somebody out there who knows that there's something bigger and bolder for them out there, and maybe they've tried to step into it in the past, but they got consumed by fear, self-doubt, and uncertainty, or fear of the unknown. Somebody who knows that in their quiet moments, they're not on the path that is theirs anymore, that they've started to stray from the path that was theirs, the path that they wanted. And maybe they could be just a few clicks off and they could be completely off. It's for someone who gets inspired by an idea of possibility, and then fear says, you know what? That's not who you are. And they buy that story and they stop themselves. And then as time passes, what happens? They lose the belief in the possibility of bringing that to life. And we've all seen this and we've all experienced this. And so, like I said earlier, I don't believe we're lacking clarity. I believe we're lacking what happens after that clarity. So oftentimes we'll have clarity, we'll have insight, we'll have a breakthrough of something that we must do, something that we must change. And again, it's easy to stay anchored in that place. And if we don't execute immediately, and I'm not saying it always has to be some transformative change, but if we don't do one thing to make it real, we're going to lose momentum. And then a month's going to pass, 3 months is going to pass. And guess what? We're going to wake up and, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. Like we don't even remember that thing. And that could have been a life-changing opportunity. So the book was designed to give somebody out there permission. And obviously only we can give ourselves permission, but the book, the intention is for it to become a facilitator, to open something up. You know, the first line of the book is, what are you waiting for? And I know that can sound a little challenging and aggressive in a sense, but even my publisher said, Tommy, are you sure you want to start with that line to start out the book? You know, a lot of people aren't going to know you. And I said, yes, because to me, challenge is the highest form of respect. And in my industry and a lot of the books that I've read, it's too much fluff and it's too much patting you on the back. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of my people and I see their greatness, but also I respect them enough to say, hey, You've been wanting to take that adventure. You've known for 5 years that you were in a job that wasn't for you. You've been wanting to do that adventure race. You've been wanting to take that spiritual leap and actually disconnect from the world for, you know, a week to learn about who you are and have a life experience. But time has passed. Time has passed. And that's how we go back to a state of comfort or even survival, that when we have these sparks of intuition, these ideas, these things that we must do, we don't honor ourselves and we don't do them. So that's what the book is for somebody who's ready to take that. And there's four types of leaps that you can take. You can take a physical leap. Sometimes we need that catalyst, that physical leap, you know, signing up for that adventure that is going to challenge us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's a physical leap. There's obviously a career leap or a business leap if you're stepping into entrepreneurship. There's a spiritual leap, which we discussed. And then there's a relationship leap. And the reason that I have different types of leaps is because guess what? Sometimes we need a leap in another area of life to create a catalyst. So for my example, I was living on the East Coast. I was in New York. I was in Connecticut. I was in Manhattan. And the environment was just eating me alive. Just like I needed to get out. But what? I started to get myself anchored. I started to talk myself into it, right? And then finally, I made a decision. It's in the book on New Year's Eve that things were going to change and dramatically change. And I took about three leaps at once. So not always highly recommended, but you know. But my first leap was changing my environment. Because if I had done my business leap first and I was in the same environment that was eating me alive, that just wasn't for me, my results in my business leap would be limited. So I needed to change my environment, go somewhere new, go somewhere with more space, go to a place that I'm inspired by, which to me is the desert with mountains. And that allowed me to have the space and the capacity and the bandwidth to take my business leap. So again, sometimes we need to take a leap in an area of life to create that big catalyst and momentum in some other area. And that's who the book is for.
Yeah, man. I love that. And I remember hearing about the leap you made and how you ended up moving out to Arizona and just changing everything that you were doing. And it was really cool to read that. And not too long after that, more specifically 12 months ago, I took a leap myself and went from Miami in an environment that was just eating me alive, even though people love to go to Miami Beach and it's like heaven on earth for them, paradise for me. It was hell on earth. It was just, I hated everybody. I was so angry. Angry, but it's just not even, I met someone the other day. It's just not a friendly place. And I just wasn't able to thrive there regardless of all the reasons, the rationalizations. I didn't feel good there and I needed to change.
And that's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're willing to get honest with yourself about that though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'd been honest for a long time. I just wasn't ready or didn't know what to do. And then finally, my wife and I, we had this opportunity and we took it and we decided to go to Thailand because we'd wanted to come out here. And here's the point I'm trying to make about this, because I want your perspective on it. I should not have done what I did. It was very risky what I did financially. I cut all my personal training business to go 100% online. I wasn't making enough money online to make ends meet. I didn't have that much money saved up. And I shouldn't have done it if I would have run a cost-benefit analysis on my life. I shouldn't have done it, right? Too much uncertainty, too many ways to fail, too many dangers, too many unknowns. And the thing was, it ended up being the best decision. I can't say of my entire life, because I feel like I've made several good decisions, right? A bunch of decisions that really took me to a different place, but definitely the best decision that I've made in the past 10 years, at least. And man, it scares me thinking like I could have gone one more year, even another fucking month living that way. But there's someone right now, Tommy, who feels like they should do something and they're running a cost-benefit analysis and they're thinking the same way, but they're not taking the leap. How do we know if the leap, like I could have been wrong, man. It could have been a disaster for me and I would have had to crawl back on my hands and knees and beg my clients to take me back and borrow money or something. And none of that happened, but someone could have made that leap and ended up in that situation. How do we know what the right leap to make is? And you know, what do you have to say about that?
I love it. I love it. Cause your story just details all the ingredients that are going to be part of the leap. You know, there's a part in the book, it's called Leaning on the Edge. And that's like when we know we have to do it, but our logical mind is saying, it's not the right time. You don't have enough money. You got to do a cost benefit analysis. What are they going to say? Like, and that's actually, and I say in the book, that's actually a feedback mechanism to let us know that we're actually on the right path. If we don't have those voices of doubt, the logic trying to pull us back into our comfort zone, then this is not a leap that's really meaningful, that's really powerful, that's designed to stretch us. Because part of that leap is what? The not knowing. And for somebody out there who feels in a similar way, you're not going to get to the decision with cost-benefit analysis. In fact, by doing all of that stuff, you're going to lose the energy required because, and I say in the book, we already know what to do. And to somebody out there, Ted, your decision might have seemed crazy, like out of your mind. Ted is losing it, guys. Ted has lost it, right? Financially, it's a crazy decision. And they would say it's so risky. But you know what the real risk is, which is you not having the last 12 months of life experiences, you're not having that fulfillment of taking that shot. And let's not even just say the last year, because that's just a small snapshot. But what if you didn't take the leap and you stayed in the same exact place and the ways that you were feeling, and you went 5 years down the line in that same place. You never actually took the leap. And knowing that you had that opportunity and you really wanted to do it and you were battling it, but you didn't do it and you took the safe path. Dude, that starts to eat at you because we know our truth. And so that's one of the tools that I use in the book. It's called reverse visualization. Now we've all heard visualization for success and manifesting and bank accounts and stuff like that. And it's great, you know, for performance. But when we make bold decisions, I like to use reverse visualization. So here's how it works. If you're listening and you know that there's something out there and something like Ted said that you will need to make a move, but logic is saying, don't do it. It's not the right time. You need more degrees. You're not ready, et cetera, et cetera. You need more time. You need more money. All of the excuses that are going to come up. Close your eyes and take yourself 5 years down the line. You wake up in 5 years down the line. This is not like a half-hearted thing that you do. I want you to go deep on this. You go 5 years down the line and you have not done it. You never did it, actually. And you had to live with yourself for 5 years of where you are today, but worse, and knowing that you didn't do it and you have regret inside of you. How does that affect the way that you show up for others? How does that affect your inner critic? How does that affect how you feel on a daily basis? And when we can take ourselves to that place, today's bold decision, even though still frightening, even though it's still scary, it pales in comparison with missing out in the future, with the heavy regret in the future. And regret is a big part of this book. In fact, in chapter 3, I have a story of a man who didn't take any of his shots. None of them. And he posted this amazing thing online, and it's soaked in regret. And he didn't take the travel that he wanted to. He went into banking, which is something that he hated and had no interest in. He says that his father's funeral happened and he didn't even go. He has no connection to his son. I mean, all of the opportunities that he had that he wanted to do, he didn't do them. And the reason I included that in the book is because we've all felt regret. We've all had some regret that we can either use as leverage to make new decisions today and in the future, or to keep us stuck in that place of what could have been, why didn't I do it? And so it's such a great question, but deep down, we know what we had to do. And even though you say like there could have been a worst case scenario, and for me too, Ted, like with all the leaps that I've taken over the last 3 or 4 years, I can say like I could have came home with the tail between my legs. Here's the truth though. At least we would have known, at least you and I could have looked ourselves in the mirror and knew that we took a shot. And I know that sounds like a cliche Instagram quote at times, but when we know that we took a shot and we took our bet on ourselves and the desire and a dream that we had, there, even when we quote unquote lose, and I don't believe in that because when we put ourselves out there, even if our initial version doesn't come to life, a door opens that wouldn't have been there if we didn't do that. But let's just say for the context of this conversation, to me, we still know that we did it. And that to me is a win in itself because that energy, besides external markers, is a deep fulfillment that we actually did it. And I like to say fulfillment can always attract achievement. Achievement cannot always attract a fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, man. Yeah. And I believe that too. You know, it always seems like, oh God, I shouldn't do this. But can you live with, are you willing to live with looking back in 5 years saying, wow, I had an opportunity to do that and I didn't do it. And especially as I've gotten older, I'm 42 now. And man, I just don't want to make any of those mistakes that I made in the past. Ugh, it scares me to even think like, yeah. Oh man, you know, time's running out. What did you come here? I mean, you didn't come here on purpose. You were born into this world, but you know, as you started to develop consciousness, I mean, what are you here for? Right. We all end up in the same place, back to dust, but not all of us go after it. And whether it looks like an initial failure, which by the way, I don't know if you had as many obstacles as I had with my recent leap, but you know, it things kept going wrong. Things are still going wrong. We've hired and fired. We're on our fifth VA right now, a virtual assistant for those of you not in the know, but yeah, it's just a constant struggle. But one more thing is I was struggling before, but I just wasn't living a purposeful life. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. So these struggles that I'm having now, they're okay compared to how they were eating me up back in Miami Beach.
Because they're of your choosing and because they have a deeper purpose and a deeper meaning. And we look at the adversity differently when it's on our terms.
So
when
true.
It's something that we desire and there's a bigger mission and there's a bigger why and there's a bigger thing. It's like, we look at the obstacles like hiring 5 VAs. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm here to tell you, your leap is not going to be perfect. If you think that your leap is going to be perfect, you're out of your mind. But, and when I say that, it's like a play on words, because your leap will be perfect. It's just not going to be perfect in the way that you believe. Why? Because your vantage point today, the version of who you are in your life experience, it can't imagine what's on the other side of that leap right now.
Right.
And often, I say, you might not get what you want. You might get something better. And this is where we can get into the art of surrender, that like, yes, we can have a vision. Yes, we can have this desire. At some point, we got to let go of exactly what that's going to look, what that's going to feel like, et cetera. So we can invite the opportunity for something that from our vantage point today, we couldn't even visualize. And that's the magic. We need to leave space for the magic, Ted. And I know you get this because, I mean, even in my space, it's like, you can be so rigid with your vision. You can be so rigid with the leap and how it's going to look and how it's going to feel, that along the way, something more powerful comes across, a more magnificent form of that. And you just miss it out because you were so in the trenches of what it had to look like. And that's the power of this. When you put yourself out there and you step courageously, I want to remind you, courage is not fearlessness. It's being drenched in fear and taking the next step anyways. Because when you do that, doors will open, people, places, opportunities, things will magnetize, whatever you want to call it, law of attraction, things will come into your life at the right time, at the right place, with the right message. And that is something that you and I can't predict. But it's a beautiful ride, but you're going to have faith, you're going to have trust, and you're going to have resilience. Why? Because you're pushing up against your emotional edges consistently. That's what change is. That's what transformation is. That's what all the journeys are. Are you willing to endure that kind of metamorphosis where your emotions are like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know what to do. I keep hiring VAs. I'm having all of these issues. Can you last long enough to get on the other side?
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And let me ask you this. I know you have to leave soon. How many more minutes do I have with you, Tommy?
10. Yeah.
10. Okay. So another, you're bringing up a great issue. Like my previous self and your previous self and everybody who's ever made this type of leap, you're not able to see what you're going to be like. You can't formulate a clear vision, even though you may have a clear vision, it's not going to be accurate because once you get there, you're different. Things are different. And there's just no way to see that. It's like trying to see outside the spectrum or hear outside the spectrum of what a human can see or hear. It's just, you don't have the senses to do it until you make the leap and you're there. So the thing that I wanted to ask you is that you've written a book, you put out podcasts, I put out podcasts, I put out content, and I know you are dealing with the same thing where is information doesn't really cause transformation. I mean, it can, right? I've read books that changed my life, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Man, that sent me down the personal development road, changed my life. But what would you have to say to a person who is in that information mode and how to take that next step to where they're not listening to the podcast? I mean, man, I try to get people to stop listening to these podcasts.
Totally.
Stop listening to the podcast and go and do something. I mean, come back for sure. I listen to podcasts. I listen to audiobooks. They're great for a little pick-me-up, a little inspiration to surround you with a peer group, a virtual peer group that you can't get in your immediate environment, but eventually you got to go off and go do something. So where would you say your book fits in with that?
Yeah. So I like to think of, and so this is kind of like my metaphorical look at Theodore Roosevelt's quote of the man in the arena. And so if we just think of like an arena, most people are outside. They're not even like, they're not even consuming this information. They're not even on this podcast. I always tell people if you're listening to this, you're in the 8 to 10% who actually would spend an hour, invest an hour of their time, energy, and attention to grow themselves. And we can live in this vacuum where we're like, everybody's listening to this. And it's like, no, this is not true. So that's, you know, if you're listening to this, you're not outside of the doors, you're inside of the doors, but you're in the stands. And your view in the stands, when you're watching other people in the game, and whatever those people are, is limited. Your perspective is limited, right? And so to get out of the stands and to get on the field of play, you got to take courageous action. You got to honor obviously if something like this resonates, well, how do you honor that? Like for me, when content resonates, like I go a little crazy. Like I will immerse myself and make sure that I honor it because it's resonating, because something internally is resonating with the material. We got to make that real within 24 hours or less. And so I'll just give you an example of one of the leaps that I took real quick when I was in New York City on New Year's Eve. And I was having this kind of existential crisis moment. And I was walking around aimlessly. I found this field, this empty field, to detail in the book. I'm like, I'm dressed like to a T. I start sprinting. Like I was just having one of those crazy moments where I was like, I need space, metaphorically, figuratively, everything. And that night I pulled out my iPhone and I clicked record and I detailed a vision. I said, in 1 year, here's what's happening. Dot, 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 dot. 4 minutes and 36 seconds. Boom. Tears in my eyes. Done. In that moment, clarity, certainty, even though I had no blueprint, no plan, had just signed a 5-year lease, was anchored to a place, knew no one out here. I mean, I had all the reasons not to, but in the moment, I had the clarity. Now I knew the next day, guess what? I was going to wake up. I had drank a vodka soda here and there. I was going to be in a different emotional state. And the emotional state was going to say, that was just some crazy experience you had. You were just the wrong mix of chemicals and whatever. Forget about that. So I said, what is one thing I can do to make it real? And that night I changed. And this sounds so simple, but sometimes it's the simple things that take something that's an idea, a breakthrough content that you're listening to, and makes it real in your life. And so that day I changed the background of the phone to this beautiful cactus purple sunset. And so the next day when I woke up, and 80 times after there, when I, you know, we check our phones 80 times a day, what did I see? I saw that thing. Now I want to fast forward to finish the story, but so I said in 1 year that's going to happen. So that actually started to happen in a few months. This is like the speed of when stuff happens, when you commit to something. And I still have that, you know, that thing in the back of my screen. So when I first get to Arizona, what's the first thing I do? I go on this amazing hike. I was like, the first time I got here, I was so excited to create the transformation, much like yours, to create the leap. And it's sunset, right? And I'm coming down the mountain and it's unbelievable. It's right over here. And there's a purple hue in the sky. And dude, I shit you not. I look up and I pull the phone up with me as I look up. And that was as identical as you can get, the picture on the smartphone and what I was seeing.
Wow.
So the reason I share this story is because my action step that night on New Year's Eve, I couldn't do much. There wasn't much that I could do in that place, but I did one thing. And so when you have moments of clarity, it's possible that if I don't do that, I forget about it or I get lost in something else and it doesn't become real. And so when you have content that moves you, that resonates with you, just like you said, Ted, yes, it's great that you're here, but don't do that stuff a disservice. Find a way to make it real. Find a way to lean into your courage. Like do something tonight, tomorrow, in the morning when you're listening to this that you normally wouldn't do because of this conversation. So if you're at that line in Starbucks and you normally wouldn't talk to that person, but for some reason you feel like you need to talk to that person, do it. If you're at a networking event and usually you would, you know, stay with your circle, but you know you want to talk to someone and make a bold conversation with someone, do it. If you drive past the boxing gym and you usually would just keep going and your intuition says, you know, that would be really cool to them. I've kind of been feeling like more physicality. do it. And these are just so simple examples, but that's how you start to get outside of the arena, you know, from the stands into the field. And when you're in the field, your perspective changes. You feel more capable. That's where you grow confidence. That's where you grow momentum, skill sets, all of the stuff that's going to help you to continue to step in your courage and lean into the bold decisions of your life.
Wow. I love that.
Long answer.
No, it's perfect. And we definitely need less soundbite answers for these deeper questions. They need to be examined and explained and thought out. So, man, that was just beautiful. Tommy, it was such a pleasure having you on. We didn't get a chance to talk about health and fitness and how that factors into it, or the spiritual leap, which I'm personally interested in, but maybe we can catch up and do that next time. But if you're enjoying Tommy right now, you want to go deeper, you want to check out his podcast or get his new book, go to resistaverageacademy.com. And all the information is there at resistaverageacademy.com. And if you want to get his book, Leap of Your Life, go to Amazon. It's available there as well, as is his other book, The 1% Rule. So, Tommy, talking about all this, taking action and content, if it inspires you, but don't do it disservice, what is the action that you'd like everybody to take who's listening right now?
Yeah, the action is that standing on the sidelines, that waiting until you feel ready. I'm going to give you the secret for the things that you desire, the dreams that you want to create, the experiences that you want to have, the feelings that you want to have within those experiences. You're never going to feel fully ready. And your head is going to talk you out of the things that your heart and your intuition and your, maybe you can call it soul, whatever, you're just going to resonate with you. Your head will always try to talk you out of it. You need more time, you need more money, you need more degrees. You got to wait till Trump gets out of office because he's too much chaos. You got to wait until you have the skills to do it. And I'm telling you, that's, you will never feel ready. And that's always going to be an empty cause that's going to hold you back. And so better to do it now and to take the chance now and to step into it today and get inside of the game of life. Because like Ted and I said, when you do that, you may not get what you want. You may get something better, right? And your level of fulfillment is going to be so high that even if you quote unquote fail, which I never like using that word, when your fulfillment is high, you can create anything. And that's really what we're here for. And on a real practical step, if this resonated, pull out your journal and identify that one thing. And if you have to go take a walk in nature, if you have to do a yoga class, if you have to go to a meditation, if you have to create some space, because like Ted and I said, you won't find clarity in the chaos. Spend that time with yourself. Honor the relationship with yourself enough to spend a little time with yourself. And then write down, what is that one thing that you've been putting off? And to Ted and I, it might seem small. That doesn't matter. To somebody else, it might seem massive. What matters is that it has meaning to you. And then my challenge for you is, how quickly can you step into that? And how courageously can you step into that as fast as humanly possible?
Boom. Tommy Baker, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your time today. It's been a little tricky coordinating schedules, but we made it happen and it was all worth it.
Absolutely. Always at the right time. And Ted, just want to say thank you, man. You're a living example of this, man. Like, you're living the message of the leap, which means that you're inspiring people that you know and people that you may never know to do the same. And so just, I honor your courage, man, because your courage to, you know, take the leap of your environment, to take the leap of your business that you did, to take the spiritual leap that you did and share your story along the way to give people the real behind the scenes look at it has been incredible. And it's amazing to witness. So thank you.
Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate that, brother. That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. It was a personal one for me. It was an emotional one for me because I think about how if I would have never taken those leaps in my life, especially the one where I quit my personal training business to go full-time online and move halfway across the world, I would still be stuck there in Miami Beach in my apartment, stressing, working, but not making much progress. Making a little bit, but not much.
and I would stay comfortable and I would get older. And I mean, it makes me shudder just to think about what could have happened. I could have been in Miami another 5 years, 10 years before something happened. I don't know, but it makes me shudder to think about. And I want you to think about that. Where are you going to be in 3 years from now if you don't take that leap, or 5 years from now? It's an important question to ask you, because it's not what it costs you to make it happen. It's what it costs you to not make it happen. What does it cost you to live life in that comfort zone that you're still in? Yeah, it's like I said, I get kind of pumped up and emotional about talking about this, because if we truly want more, we can't wait for the right moment. We have to leap. We have to leap with faith. And that's why I was so pumped to have Tommy on the show today. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Let me just tell you, if you are looking for the best greens supplement on the market, because you know good nutrition is important, but you're just not getting in your veggies and fruits each day, I want you to check out Organifi Green Juice. Not only will we give you a 20% discount on your first order, but you are supporting the show and helping me to put out episodes like this and to get guests like Tommy on the show. So if you want to try the best green supplement on the market, go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com, and use the code TED20. That's capital TED, the number 20, and you will receive 20% off your first order. Again, it's a limited time discount for Legendary Life listeners. That's all I've got. I hope you have an amazing week, and I hope you think about that leap that you should take but haven't been taking in your life. I want you to think about that. I want you to plan out what you need to do. I want you to take action. I want you to have that life that you truly want, but it's up to you to take the action and take the leap. That's all I've got, my friends. Have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you soon.